Good morning to everybody. Coffee wasn't strong enough, I guess. Lord, help me. That's a sincere prayer. Somebody asked me if I was ready for the message, and I said, as ready as I can be, dealing with more than 300 prophecies concerning Christ. It'll be a tough challenge. Which ones to pick and choose? And I hope I have picked the right ones that God wanted me to. So the last line of that hymn, all praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son who rose and lives and sits in highest heaven. Our God eternal is whom earth and heaven adore. Now we by grace are his and shall be forevermore. What a prospect. What a glorious position a Christian can be. Now, God is King, immortal, invisible, Creator, and ruler of heaven and earth. He is the King of the universe. In Psalm 103, it says, the Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Jesus is the King, anointed by the Father, because in Hebrews 1, we read, but to the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Also, I would like to refer to Luke chapter 1, where it says, most of these are familiar verses to all of us. In Luke 1, it says, the angel said to Mary, or said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. God knows everything. And this angel from God could tell Mary that she will bring forth a son. And it is predicted by the prophets hundreds of years ago. And how did they know that it would be a son? How did they know the sex of the child? And therefore we know the prophets spoke the message from God. Now, prophecy in the biblical sense is essential communication from God regarding the future events to take place, revealed through prophets appointed by God. Now, in the beginning of human history, as recorded in the book of Genesis, God communicated with man directly. let us go to the scene in the garden as Eve believed the lie of Satan. As a cunning serpent deceived her with one question. Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? She replied Satan correctly, what God had commanded them. But he planted a doubt in her mind. She could have firmly yelled at Satan and said, get lost, serpent. God had commanded us not to eat of the fruit of the tree. But that didn't happen. Her mind began to analyze and rationalize. Then Satan added the lie that Eve believed. You will surely not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. There is more in life in the world to experience than what God restricted you to experience. It is the lie that deceives every man and woman to this day. What is the one desire that Satan has? To be like God. Now, Adam and Eve are on his team with that same goal. That's what Satan made Eve believe, that they would be like God. It is now judgment time. God was there and watched all that transpired. He called Adam by name, but the invitation was for both Mr. and Mrs., who were trying to hide from God. The serpent was still there watching the fun and smiling how he was able to manipulate and make Adam and Eve fall. He was curious to know what God would do to them. God asked them to explain what happened. Instead of owning their mistakes, they transferred the blame. Adam to Eve, and Eve to the serpent. Now God knew exactly who the perpetrator of the crime was. So he judged the serpent first. Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. It seemed Satan was in control in the garden. But when God appeared on the scene, he was in control. He pronounced his curse on the serpent and also said, I will put enmity between you and the woman. So God is in control. He decided to put enmity between the serpent and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And the seed and her seed, the seed in my Bible is with a capital S. The seed of the woman that we would see later. God has to crush the head of the serpent or Satan and restore mankind. This has been God's plan of salvation from the beginning. Now Satan remains to be the enemy of God's people. The rest of humanity is on Satan's team, just like Adam and Eve, working against God. God wanted to restore the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve and make them sons and daughters of God. So this is the first prophecy that we see in the Bible. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Paul tells us how this first prophecy was fulfilled. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, Paul is talking about bondage to Satan and his demons. But when the fullness of the time had come, when the appointed time came, God had said, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. God wanted to restore mankind and make us sons and daughters of God. And we are therefore heirs of God through Christ. And again in Psalm 2, verses 7 through 9, I'll declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I'll give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Paradise lost was to be regained by God. Those who returned to God for those who returned to God from the sinful state. Jesus told the thief on the cross, verily I say unto you, today shall you be with me in paradise. There is a heavenly paradise that exists. Now, Paul experienced that in his life. In 2 Corinthians 12, he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. There is a heavenly paradise, and Paul was restricted or prohibited from talking about it. Even though he had that experience, he was taken to the third heaven. In the Old Testament prophecies, we see the promise of a descendant of Adam as deliverer, redeemer, savior, messiah, and king. And he is known as the seed of the woman. Again, there are two types of prophecies concerning Christ. Prophecies pointing his kingship and rule, and prophecies pointing to a savior, suffering, humble servant. Seed of a woman. And this was the prophecy in Genesis 3 that we read. And also Psalm 2, 7 through 9. You will notice that the seed is with capital S, and then he shall bruise your head. That is, Jesus shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Both in capitals. Now, the fulfillment was in Galatians, as we read from Galatians chapter 4. Then there was the prophecy that he would be a promised seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And in Genesis 17:19, then God said, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And in Genesis 28, and behold, the Lord stood above it. And that's when Jacob was at Bethel, and he saw the ladder that's going up to heaven. And in his dream, he saw the angels ascending and descending. And the Lord stood above it all and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east and to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And as we can see the fulfillment in Matthew 1, verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. And in Matthew 1:17, so all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations. Then another prophecy that says he would be the descendant of the tribe of Judah. In Genesis 49, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. And it's fulfilled as recorded in Luke 3:33, the son of Aminadab, the son of Ram, the son of Hezron, the son of Perez, the son of Judah, the son of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, the son of Terah. Another prophecy is that David's throne will be eternal. And it is on David's throne that Jesus will occupy one day, and his kingdom will be eternal, and it is a perpetual throne that Christ will be seated on. In 2 Samuel, I hope you can read at the back the small letters. 2 Samuel 7:12-13, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. And again, it was fulfilled in the book of the genealogy that's given. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Then there is a prophecy concerning the place of his birth. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. And it's fulfilled, as we see in Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And we have another prophecy regarding the time of his birth. In Daniel 9:25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. Daniel's prophecy, as we know, was about 538 BC. When angel Gabriel appeared to Daniel, 69 weeks, which represents 483 years, 1 week equal to 1 year, go figure. I don't know why it's that way, but that is what the scholars say would be the time Christ would be born, which coincides with the decree that went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Now, Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house of lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. So he was born as predicted, and he was predicted at a place that was predicted by the prophets. Then we see a prophecy that he was to be born of a virgin. And Isaiah 7:14 is the prophecy that says, Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And the fulfillment we see in Luke 1:35. And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And then we have a prophecy that deals with his flight to Egypt. And Hosea chapter 11, 1, it's predicted, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. And the fulfillment was in Matthew 2:14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then we have a prophecy that says Jesus would be a prophet himself. In Deuteronomy 18:15-16, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst. And this is Moses speaking. Like me from your midst, from your brethren, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire anymore, lest I die. And in John chapter 6, we see the fulfillment. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. This is the feeding after the feeding of the 5,000, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." We have another prophecy that says he would be a priest like Melchizedek. In Psalm 110, it is predicted, "The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." And in Hebrews, we read, this was fulfilled. "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." And we have the next prophecy that he would be rejected by Jews. In Isaiah 53, says he is despised and rejected by men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And fulfillment in John 1, we see he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The next prophecy is about his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the prophecy in Zechariah says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He's just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." And the fulfillment we see in John 12, "And then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt.'" And we have this prophecy to be betrayed by a friend. And the prophecy is from Psalm 41, verse 9. "Even my own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me." It was fulfilled as recorded in Mark 14. "Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him." And then he was sold for 30 pieces of silver. And there's a prophecy in Zechariah. "Then I said to them, 'If it is agreeable to you, give me my wages. And if not, refrain.' So they waited out for my wages 30 pieces of silver." These were careless shepherds that Zechariah was talking about. And they were only interested in their wages. And they had the 30 pieces of silver. And they left the sheep. And these were the sheep for the slaughter. And that fulfillment was in Matthew 26. As we see, "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?' And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver." The next prophecy that I saw was smitten and spat upon. And it is in Isaiah 50, verse 6. "I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked out the beard. I did not hide my face from shame and spitting. And the fulfillment was in Mark 14. Then some began to spit on him and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, prophesy. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. The next one is crucified with sinners. Isaiah 53, which is well known to us, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Matthew 27 tells us the two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left. Another prophecy that says his hands and feet would be pierced. Psalm 22:61. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. The fulfillment was in John 20 recorded as he was on the cross, as he was nailed to the cross. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it to my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. He was carrying those wounds. The nail-pierced wounds were visible. Then he was given vinegar to drink. And a prophecy in Psalm 69 says, reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. In John 19, we see now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge and sour wine, put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. Another one was prayer for his enemies. In Psalm 109, they have also surrounded me with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. In return for my love, they are my accusers, but I give myself to prayer. Thus they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. And we see that fulfilled in Luke 23. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they cast lot for his garments. And Psalm 22 says, they divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Mark 15 says that when they crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Buried with the rich. And Isaiah 53 tells us that they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. And the fulfillment was in Mark 15 recorded, now when evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, coming and taking courage, went to the Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he bought fine linen, took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Then his resurrection, predicted in Psalm 16, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And in Matthew 28, the fulfillment, the angel answered and said to the women who came to his grave, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. Before you will see him, behold, I have told you." And his ascension, Psalm 68, "You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there." In Acts 1, 9 through 11, we see the fulfillment as the disciples were watching. He was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfast toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will also come like manner as you saw him go into heaven." So we have a risen Savior. And he is now at the right hand of the Father. In the messages to the seven types of churches in the book of Revelation, John the Apostle received from the glorified Christ the message to the first church, Ephesus. He wrote, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him he overcomes. I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Paradise lost will be regained because of Lord Jesus Christ. And from the very beginning, God had planned that he would become the restorer, the redeemer, and savior of mankind. Now, Jesus told his disciples in John 16:33, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, we can trust the one who has overcome the world. Our faith in Christ should grow day by day, walking hand in hand with the victorious Lord Jesus Christ. We must have hope to overcome whatever obstacles Satan and his world order put before us, and whatever tribulations we may face. The disciples of Jesus acknowledged the seed of the woman born of Virgin Mary without an earthly father and was called the Son of Man, but was truly the Son of God. Now, Peter got a huge commendation from Jesus for acknowledging who Jesus was, Messiah, the Son of the living God. In Matthew 16, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And again, Martha, the sister of Lazarus and Mary, admitted he was Christ, the Son of God. Jesus came to Bethany after Lazarus died and said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Jesus reversed the natural process of death and decay, and Lazarus became a live human being again. 4 days after he was dead and buried, with his spirit, soul, and body reunited. Only Jesus could do this. He is the resurrection and the life. That is why we can keep our hopes in him. No matter if someone died 4 days ago, 400 years ago, or 1,000, or 2,000, or 5,000 years ago, God could raise that person from the dead. We as believers will attain a glorified body. Now, Lazarus at this time did not receive a glorified body, but a natural body. Coming of the Messiah, the Redeemer, was not a sudden thought that occurred in the mind of God. It was the plan of God from the very beginning. As we go through the Old Testament, we can see more than 300 references pointing to the Savior of the world. How he was going to be conceived, born as a male child, when and where he was to be born, of which tribe he would be born, how he was to be a prophet, priest, and king, how all the prophetic recordings and messianic psalms point to the rejection sufferings, violence, torture, and death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. His birth, the righteous life that he led, the death and resurrection were not accidental. Now, Satan had worked very hard, unwittingly, to help things along, to carry out God's plan, though he knew he would be unsuccessful. He used every tool available at his disposal to tempt Christ and make him fail in his mission. And he used people to bruise him, as predicted in Genesis. The Jewish leaders rejected him. The Jewish scholars or rabbis could have recognized Messiah if they searched the scriptures and applied it to what was happening since the birth of Christ. Pilate, who found no fault in him, could have saved his life. Yet, he came to suffer and to die. But Jesus became victorious as he is risen from the dead, defeating death and the power of sin. In Philippians chapter 2, we read, and being found in fashion, found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And in Hebrews 1, we are told God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. After the last prophet, Malachi, we see a period of silence, 400 years. There were no prophets for 400 years until John the Baptist, who knew Christ would be born as a savior of this world. We won't be able to go through all the scripture portions that are the early prophecies concerning Christ. Jesus answered to Pilate, as he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as he rose again, as he is at the right hand of the Father, sitting on the throne. And he told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I would not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then? What kind of a king are you?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate asked, "What is truth?" And Jesus himself was the truth. And he is the King sovereign, and he is the King supreme. And in Hebrews 12:28, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." We must pay close attention to what Paul's letter to Timothy says. He was urging Timothy, "I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen." We are ambassadors of Christ, of the kingdom of God. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 7, says, "For the lips of a priest should preserve knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, because he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts." Jesus himself was the priest, and he preserved and he preserves all knowledge. And people should seek instruction from his mouth, because he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. We as believers are also priests, and we should preserve the knowledge that is given to us through his word. And when others seek instruction, we should be able to give that to those who seek wisdom and instruction, because we are the messengers of God. We are the ambassadors of Christ. In Luke 10:16, "He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me, and he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me." Therefore, we have to take courage, and we have to be responsible to speak the truth that God has told us, and his son, and witness his son, Lord Jesus Christ. Our time is gone. Here is something that I found on internet I thought I would share with you: God's plan for the future. And Christ came, he died, and he rose again, and he ascended to heaven. So his kingdom was rejected by men. He was not made a king, and it was delayed by God. And his kingdom would come when he comes again. a second time to this earth. And in the meantime, there is rapture for those believers, followed by the 7-year tribulation period, and then the sheep and goat judgment, and then the millennium or the kingdom for 1,000 years, and then the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20, and then we head on to eternity future. And there is a resurrection of all men and women. And there were some saints that were raised at Christ's resurrection, as we read in Matthew. Then we have the present age, and then we have the rapture of New Testament saints and tribulations to follow, and second coming of Christ, and non-Christians resurrected to face judgment, and that eternal kingdom will be established by Christ being on the throne. Let's close in prayer. Sorry for taking extra time. God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. From Genesis, we see the predictions of your Son's arrival on this earth to rescue us, to redeem us from our sins, to redeem the world. But the world by far have rejected. Many of them have become conscious rejecters of the gospel. Thank you for the privilege you have given us, that you brought the message of salvation to us at the appropriate time, and you have given us the grace to accept that salvation, and we thank you for that. And we thank you for the hope you have given us. And we know that your Son's coming to this world was not accidental. It was planned from the very beginning. We thank you for your help and guidance in our Christian lives. We pray that you would enable us to live for you in the coming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.